And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And tonight, we are going to award the free year BSP on the air to one of the people that has... Why am I talking at this pitch? Why can't I lower my voice?
Here, hold on.
Oh, thank you, bud.
Yeah, that kick you in the back.
Well, did that hurt?
It didn't hurt. No, thank you. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, welcome to the show tonight. We are going to award our free year of a backstage pass to a lucky, quote, listener, Twitterer, Facebooker, because that's where that's at, man. We basically ask people to hashtag BSP over at Phil Hendry Show, twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show on Twitter, or to like our new fan page, which we've started up over at Facebook, and we will draw from that abundance of people later on tonight, and we will have for you a winner. And that's kind of exciting. A year of I'll tell you, that's...
I would think that's very valuable. I think you need to push that. Now, can I say something?
Of course.
Now, who's going to stop you?
Yeah, who's going to stop you?
So we're starting in right away, aren't we? We're starting in right away?
Just kidding.
No, with no main bout, right? Just going to start in with the main bout, no preliminaries. Is that it?
Just say what you need to say, Margaret, okay? You blew that one.
Yeah, it's no preliminaries under the main bout.
All right, I don't know about that. But what I want to say is this. I think that it's a good, it's a very good promotional item. I don't know anything about your website. I don't subscribe because there's a lot of material on there that I find very offensive. I've told you this, Phil, in the past. You have included things... from conversations you've had with Frank and I.
Well, now hold on for a minute, Margaret. You can't say that those conversations didn't take place.
No, I'm not saying they didn't take place, but why did you put it on your website?
Because it's part of our show. We keep everything on our website. Every show that we've done, every show that we've been able to get our hands on from God Almighty when? 1997, 96 forward, we keep.
Even though there had been time... What about the time... I can't believe it.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, he didn't do it. You did it.
So you talking about the time Frank slabbed you?
Frank slabbed me? What does that mean?
No, I didn't say slab. I said the time Frank slapped you.
The time that Frank slapped you when you guys were lost?
Oh, you mean in Southgate?
Yeah. You were lost? And Frank was trying to get out of there because of the carjack country.
Yeah, see, people are afraid of being in a black neighborhood, even though I know your neighborhood's okay.
And I'm not saying that they're not, man. That's their problem. I'm just saying that when they're lost in Southgate, did Frank slab you?
What do you mean, did Frank slab me?
He's saying, did Frank slap you? And the answer is yes, he did, because you were screaming, you were hysterical. Frank was racing to get out of Southgate. Somebody called up and said you're in carjack territory. Frank's running red lights, and you distinctly said, no, Frank, not in the face.
Oh, we were clowning.
No, you weren't clowning. No, you weren't.
I was thinking of the time that I beat Frank up. And?
Yeah, that's pretty funny, Mr. Aaron. You fell off your chair on that one.
Yeah, you keep that one?
Oh, you fell off your chair.
Yeah, we were having a video cast that night. Why?
Well, then I take it back. I think you should keep that in your...
of course. Keep it in there. Keep it in the archives because there's Phil falling off his chair.
What happened?
Well, basically happened was this. Margaret was on the air with Frank, and something happened where Margaret decided she was going to punch Frank's lights out. I don't know what it was. Do you remember, Margaret?
I don't remember now, no.
All right. Is Frank there?
I'm not, Phil, right now he's... Where's your father? Jason... I'm on the phone with Jason. Where's your father?
What are you doing on the phone?
Because I was on the phone with my son. Is that all right?
Fine, but you're on the air right now.
Honey, I gotta call you back. He's probably sleeping.
All right. So you were doing, you and Frank, and what happened was, I was listening to this, and I was moving around the studio trying to get stuff set for another bit or for the next segment or something, and the chair that I was in, because we had not yet bought a proper chair... You know.
Well, it sounds like you haven't bought a proper chair yet either.
Yeah, this is still not a proper chair.
All right, so it's not a proper chair. It squeaks, but it hasn't fallen apart. I was in this wooden chair that had been used as a piece of it was actually a chair from some kind of a dining set that I had grabbed because we didn't have a good chair for the studio at the time. So I had this wooden chair, and at that time, I weighed, you know, a lot, man. I don't know how much I weighed back then. This was in 2007. And I think I was, you know, pushing 260, 270, something like that.
Now, about the chair breakout?
Yes, the chair. Tell him. The chair fell apart.
Yeah, the chair fell apart. The chair just collapsed right on the video cast. So there's got to be a video cast someplace. I know we must have it somewhere in our video archives if you go back far enough. It's a 2007 show, and Margaret was, well, those freaking video archives, man, we didn't keep... I know what we were doing back then. We were well, never mind.
Would you finish your thought, Phil? You know,
I'll finish what you're saying, man.
What I was trying to say was this. We were not videocasting the show. We were videotaping the show, and then we were running highlights the next day on our website and I think on YouTube. So that's how it went. So every day we showed some kind of a highlight.
Of what you did on the night before.
Oh, my God. Did you try and say that? Say that again as if you've graduated from kindergarten.
Yeah, try and say that again. If I heard you said...
Don't hit him.
I said Well, I forget what I was saying.
I do, too.
Me, too.
All right, that means we can move on. So welcome to the program, folks. Every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. I forgot what I was saying.
I do.
In any event, welcome to our show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what the hell it is it's talking about, and we try to articulate it, or articulate it, if you will, in the very best possible way, in the very best possible manner. Visit our website with a backstage. Look at this. This happened again, man. This happened again. We just had the computer crash.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
We ran out of disk space, so I got to power this computer back up and get the disk space cleared up. All right. Anyway, if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you'll be able to pick up a backstage pass and watch our show on the videocast and watch us perform the show as we do. You can also access thousands of hours, over 4,500 hours of archive material, and we have our videocast archived there as well. We have a full year of our Saturday night shows that are archived. And just really more on our site of radio media and related media than any other radio show anywhere else in the world. We've thrown that challenge out I don't know how many nights, and nobody's even going to come close to matching it. So y'all just better, you know, keep on moving, man.
Yeah, just keep on driving, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll be right back. I was going to go over to our news file, but since it's just been trashed, lots of news concerning Obama and Romney, but also... this Mecklenburg, Virginia thing, one of the reasons, of the many reasons, why Republicans are going to get their asses handed to them this year, and I'm not saying this with glee or joy, we're just reporting the facts, man, you know?
Well, I mean, the fact is that you are happy about it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm neither happy or unhappy.
Oh, my ass.
Man, she said her ass.
Your ass, huh?
That's right.
We'll be right back to talk about it, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil
My
Henry
ass.
Show.
What?
Your bitch.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Boy. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What happened, Margaret, was that I keep way too much audio on my main computer here, on our production computer. And because of that, the disk space ran out, and the disk space ran out, and so the computer just shut down.
Well, what does that mean? Do you have to get a new computer?
No, you don't get a new computer.
I'm not asking you, bud. I appreciate it. I'm talking to Phil.
Well, we got to tell you.
Yes, I know, but you're over there and you're spitting bits of pizza. And
Bud, you know, you got to close your mouth.
Oh, sorry. That man, a big chunk gonna land over here. And I'm not saying you don't have a right to eat or anything. It'll land right here.
Well, why don't you enjoy it?
What are you... Don't be a smartass, okay? Keep your napkin to your mouth, and when you talk, don't talk with your mouth full.
What?
Don't talk with your mouth full.
You don't know about that.
No, what do you mean don't talk with your mouth full?
Were you never taught as a kid not to talk with your mouth? Oh, God, I can't stand that, man.
It is disgusting. It really is.
Yeah. Were you taught as a child not to speak with your mouth full, bud?
No. My parents just said, go here, dinner, have a dinner, and then we talk about things.
Here's your dinner, have your dinner, and then you talk about things.
Yeah.
Let me explain something to you, okay?
It is not considered polite.
Hold on, Margaret. When you're talking with your mouth full, it puts off people because there's all this crap in your... Nobody's listening to anything you're saying. You understand that? No one's listening to you. A lot of people, there may be people listening right now who don't get what I'm saying. You know, when you talk and your mouth is full of food, no one's listening to a word. You may think you're making the greatest point in the world. You may, oh, wow, here's another point, and you've got a mouth full of mashed potatoes, peas, and milk.
Oh, man! God!
Oh, my God.
Yep, that's exactly right. See, my kid's sister used to love it because she knew that grossed me out. So she'd get in her mouth something that she knew was going to look really funky once she chewed it up. Like, for instance, say we were having...
What about yellow squash?
Yeah, okay, squash and...
What about broccoli?
Well, what are you... All of a sudden, you're the...
You're an expert on this stuff.
No, I'm just thinking... No, I'm not an expert on anything. I'm thinking of what would look disgusting, you know, besides you, Robert.
Shut up.
Ow. Would you guys knock it off? Exactly. So, you know, my kid's sister, she'd get a mouthful of squash, mashed potatoes, and then she'd like, open her mouth, right? And it used to just bug me. I don't know of anybody that it doesn't bug.
Why? I didn't know anything about it.
Well, now I'm telling you. You don't talk with your mouth. And a lot of people think that they're making a great point and they're talking to get their mouth full and it's full of food. And the only thing you're doing is disgusting and turning off the very people that you were hoping to impress with your marvelous point while your mouth is jammed with food. My mother used to, you know.
I got to tell you something, Phil. Every time you bring up your mother, it has something to do with unflushed toilets.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does. And I think your mother probably deserves better than that.
Margaret, no, it does not. I'm just saying that, you know, everybody in my family, from time to time, and it bothered me, okay?
Man, you might want to be you, all polite and everything.
Yeah, you probably went to church wearing short pants, too.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God. You're kidding.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. My parents put me in short pants and hard shoes when I went to...
Well, you had a church in short pants? Bitch, you had a string tie, too.
Yeah, you look like that one kid on a rascal show?
Yeah, on a Little Rascal.
Did I look like what kid on the Little Rascals?
You know, the little boy that they always used to beat up. They'd pants him and throw him in the lake.
Well, I don't know, but if he looked like the dork that I looked like, yeah. And I didn't have a string tie, but I had shorts, and I had my little and I looked like little Lord Fauntleroy, you know.
Who's that?
It's just little Lord Fauntleroy is a character from popular fiction who was kind of a little rich kid. So what is the point about that?
Well, you're all like, don't talk with your mouth full or anything. Did you ever fart? I bet you didn't even fart. And that can be dangerous to the body.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, knock it off, okay?
Yeah, I really, I'm a lady and,
Really? I'm just kidding, Miss Brandon. Ow!
You know what happened last, did you see what happened to Bud last night, right?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that.
You know, but really, Mr. Senator, if you don't, and I'm not trying to say, if you don't fart, that'll be injurious to the system.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Yeah, if you got to blow it, you got to let one go. You got to, otherwise the intestinal area goes, it could explode, I think, can it?
No, it cannot. This is just the two of you wanting to talk about this because your minds have regressed and will never leave that area of time when you were learning not to play with your own anus. Thank you.
Well, that was...
God!
That was really crude.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sick of listening to them.
All right. So, God. Did we break already, Dan? I hope we did. 877-876-7445. What I was going to do here is bring on Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, and I think I've got them right now. They're at... Roses, which is across the street there from the state capitol in West Virginia, and we are going to discuss with them this Mecklenburg, Virginia. Now, I know it's not West Virginia. It's Virginia. But you guys were the closest people at hand. Guy, how are you?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing real good. And Guy Barton is here. I will tell you, Phil, at any time you want to talk to us about Old Dominion, we're very happy to. Yeah, we're just... West Virginia is a distinct and historically as well as culturally distinct section here, the Appalachian of Blue Ridge, but we're happy to talk about it. I got a guy over here. We just got some dessert here, and we're going to sit down and enjoy that.
Well, the question is, have you seen or heard any fallout beyond what we already saw in the news about this Mecklenburg, Virginia GOP and the materials they were sending out about Obama?
I tell you, I think, Guy, you have... Phil, I said to Jim Colum, he had sent around some people. Apparently, they had a picture of Obama, and he was dressed in this witch doctor outfit. And they also had a picture of Obama as some kind of gangster. Now, understand that the GOP, state-level GOP, had asked the Mecklenburg County GOP to please cease and not distribute these materials.
Right, I read that.
And they refused. I don't know who the gentleman, you know this guy down there?
I don't know who that is. I've known a lot of the GOP, a lot of them in Mecklenburg for a great many years ago. My father originally comes from that part of Virginia, but I do not know that man. Phil, the man with the GOP in Mecklenburg, Virginia, was quoted saying that you got to get a sense of humor and this kind of nonsense. You know, I think that there's such a thing as a sense of humor, and there's such a thing as having bad taste, and there's such a thing as gallows or black humor, and there's such a thing as being one of a very handful of people that laugh at very tasteless things, right?
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah, and so anyway, I want to just point out one more thing. The state-level GOP had said, we are, how they said it, we distance ourselves, right?
Yeah, they just...
distance ourselves from this material, and it had no place in the campaign, and we don't want it, right? But in Mecklenburg, GOP, they don't care.
Yeah, that was I'd heard that too.
All right, well, and I did too. So the state of Virginia, and here's the question, can't they decertify? In other words, the state of Virginia GOP is embarrassed by this small organization in Mecklenburg. Where is Mecklenburg anyway? Anybody know?
I don't know, Phil. I think it's around, Richmond?
I think it's around Richmond. You're the one, your father.
Well, my father's from, I've never been to Mecklenburg, but I think it's around Richmond, Virginia, Phil. And that is a hotbed of conservative activism for a long time, you know.
All right, so why can't the statewide GOP, the big, you know, the big one there in Virginia, say, you're decertified. You no longer represent the interests of the Republican Party in Mecklenburg County. None of you people are accredited or certified to represent us. None of you people now are a part of our organization. And if you do try and represent us, then we will make it very clear to whoever that you are acting without our approval and other steps. I don't know if there are legal steps you can take, like filing a restraining order or something, but those will be taken as well. Why can't they do that?
Phil, Diane, you want me to do
it? I'll give a thumbnail on that, if you don't mind. Once you finish your pie, you finish the pie, and I'll go ahead and give a thumbnail on that.
Yeah, I'm a...
And you finish your pie. You're Rosie, I want to get a cup of coffee. Phil, hold on a minute. Hey, Rosie, I'm on the radio on here, huh? Yeah, you get on over here.
Yeah!
I tell you, Phil, she's as pretty as the day I first saw her, and I say this with great respect.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, we're talking about Rosie, you know, the young lady over at the restaurant. Get over here. And she's as pretty as the first day I saw her, and she was 14 years old. She took over this restaurant. You know, she's 18 from her mother. First time I ever laid eyes on her, she was 14 years old. Now, I ain't saying anything bad about her. Now, I had nothing but very pure thoughts for that child. I always knew she was just a lovely young lady, you know. But the day she turned 18, I could feel something free up inside of me.
Okay, that's fine. Get your coffee. Let's talk about, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Phil. Rosie, get over here, honey. Yeah. That's good. Fill it up. Piping hot, man. Make it hot. Yeah, boy. All right, now here's what I understand, Phil.
I'm going to talk to Phil here.
You can talk to Phil in a minute. Finish that pot. We got another piece of cherry pie. It's got the greatest cherry pie.
That's fine. I need to get going here, guys.
All right, I apologize, Phil. And
okay, there's the break. Hold on, all right?
All right, well, you want me to talk to you about...
Oh, hold on, the break.
What do you think?
Yeah, they got the break. Yeah,
you break?
No, the break, the commercial break.
Yeah, what? This guy's dumber than hell.
Where do you find these jackasses? I really like... I would just... For my own edification, where do you find a jackass... The dimensions of the one I just heard on your program, Phil?
Where do I find them?
Yes.
I found them by way of my producers and by other ways. Why?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's, I don't know whether I want to talk to one of them or whether I want
Phil
to see a sign hung around his neck that says...
We have Kurt Queedy with us, Guy Barton from Rosie's in Charleston, West Virginia, right across the street from the State House there. And these are some late-working state legislators in West Virginia. We're talking to them about something that has bedeviled. I think this is not the reason that that Governor Romney is going to be, I believe, defeated. But it's a part of when these little things get, when these little things are lumped in with the larger issues that he doesn't seem to be winning on, it just really hurts him, doesn't it?
Well, Phil, you're talking to a longtime Democrat. Now, I'm a Democrat, and Guy's a longtime Democrat. I'm a big Barack Obama supporter, but I want to say this to you. I agree with you. If I were advising the Republican Party, you know, and I said to those boys, you have got to find a way to reverse course, you know, and you have got to find a way... you got to find a way to get all the hens back in the hen house. You know what used to do that guy? You know?
Exactly, Kurt. I remember a young man. He'd get all the hens back in the hen house and make sure that the door is shut for the night.
Yeah, the Republican Party need to do that. They got to get the hen back in the hen house. They got to make sure that gate shut for the night. You know, because what's happening now is that everyone on the Democratic side and the Republican side, too, you're looking at that independent voter, they're all saying the same thing, that Barack Obama's a shining star, you know.
Right now.
Never mind, hold on. You know that song? We used to love this song, Phil, when I was in high school. You know that song?
Yeah, it's shining star. You sing that song.
I did that on the talent show. There's a song we used to love, and this is what Barack Obama now for everybody else. You remember that song? Honey, you... I'm my shining star. Don't you go away.
Yeah. You're going to get a crowd.
I'm going to get a crowd over here.
Boy, that's, Kurt, that's a great singing.
No, I'm not trying to. What I'm trying to say, you know that song, though, right? You know?
Yeah, I know that song. And then the chorus line come in, Phil. And the chorus line, honey, I'm never going to leave you only. Bop, bop, bop.
Hold on. You do that. And then I hit, but that's what it is. Honey, you. Are you ready to do it?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Honey, you. Tell them to shut up over there for a minute, will you, boys? Hey, you. Hey, boy. Boy. Hey, you, boy. Drop them plates down. Hold on.
Now, who are you calling boy?
I'm the owner of the restaurant, actually. That's Mert. Hey, Mert, I'm just kidding around. I call him boy. And Rosie's his wife, you know.
Yeah, we got to watch that.
I got to watch my step around that.
Okay.
Honey, you are my shining star. Don't you go away. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know. Now go ahead.
Yeah, here you go. Honey, I'm never going to leave you only. Bum, ba, da. Dude, that I'm going to give my heart to you only.
To you only. To you only, honey. You know, go like that, you know.
Wow, that's, I gotta hand it to you. Come on. Yay! That was fantastic. What do you think, Margaret?
I have to say, Kurt, that was lovely. And I'm a professional singer, and I have sung, I don't know if you heard me the other night doing the Ozzy Osbournes. Did you hear that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I did. And it was nice, but, you know.
Well, hold on for a minute. I'm a professional singer. Did you hear it the other night?
Yeah, it was very good. Oh, yeah, it was very good.
Gotta make sure.
Yeah, it was very good.
Well, wait, hold on. Because the other one's encouraging him. What's going on?
They loved your singing, Margaret. That's what they're trying to say.
No, they are not. I can hear the other one encouraging you. What's going on there?
No, nothing, ma'am. You were singing the other night. I'm doing it. They're singing it.
They're right there. You just said, I'm doing it. Who is encouraging you to compliment me, even though you don't mean it?
Ma'am, I swear to God.
I swear to God, I'll get in an airplane. You ask Bud how his ribs feel today. I'll get in an airplane. I'll fly there. And when I leave, well, let's put it this way. When I leave, the search will be on. The search will be on. There will be airboats, searchlights, and a lot of very tired searchers in the morning with coffee and donuts.
I don't understand, ma'am. Who are they going to be? They're going to be looking for? They're going to be looking for us, you idiot. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly.
Ma'am, I think you're a very good singer. Airboats?
God, man.
I just heard that. You seen airboats and they're going to be tired searchers?
What are you, Margaret? You have the most macabre way of putting things, I'm telling you.
Don't you watch Investigation? Yes, you do watch Investigation Discovery. There's always got very tired searchers. They have airboats and they have coffee and donuts for the searchers in the morning.
Yeah, what about bloodhounds?
Oh, yes, that too.
And they're all going to be there for me and for Guy Barton because you are going to do something with our bodies.
Yes, that's the general idea.
Well, the only thing you could possibly do would be to dismember us and feed us the gators in a swamp someplace. But we don't have those. But my uncle got property.
Okay, thank you very much for your attendance here in this segment. Goodbye, guy.
Well, I mean, you still got a few.
You know what I'd like to do on this show is not have to hang up on people.
Well, when that man said that my singing was okay, he opened a floodgate. And
yeah, but you got to give people opinion on what they're going to say.
That's true.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that some people are going to like your singing. I don't think he disliked your singing. I think his ego, I think that Kurt Queedy considers himself. Did you hear how he got into that whole thing there?
So you're saying that even if he thought I was great, he wouldn't allow himself to say it?
Exactly, exactly, because you just heard him there, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was like, honey, he was putting it on, as they say, you know. He was really going to town on that tune like he was just the center of attraction.
I bet he stands like that in front of a mirror in just his briefs, you know?
Yeah, I bet he stands with his briefs and flexes.
That is a sick image, if you think about it.
Well, I'm not thinking about it, okay? All right, so thank you very much, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. And I think what we got out of all of that, and it wasn't much, but what we got out of all of that was the fact that the Mecklenburg, and if you guys didn't hear about this, Mecklenburg, Virginia.
Yeah, because you should really explain this, Phil.
All right, I'm explaining it, okay?
Because you got it. No one knows what you're talking about, and those two imbeciles did nothing to elucidate this discussion.
All right, fine. Excuse me for breathing, okay?
No one is blaming you. We're just saying you need to explain it.
Fine. I'm going to explain it right now. What happened with... Who crumbled up this news story?
I did.
Suspect identified in Central Park daytime rape.
Yeah, you know, what? You got a morbid personality? Want to read that again or something?
No, I don't. I just wanted to crumble it up. All right. That's about a week-old news story.
Yeah, it's laying on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what's been there.
It was laying on the ground what? Go ahead.
No, Phil, start talking.
No, hold on for a minute. It was laying on the ground.
Yeah, I've been there for like a week.
Well, yeah, but you're supposed to pick it up.
No, you were.
So wait. This crumpled up news story was laying on the floor of the studio for a week, and neither one of you idiots picked it up because you thought it was the other guy's job.
Well, why didn't you pick it up?
I didn't see it, man.
Yeah, it was crammed way in the back there. Well, I better not say, you know.
Better not say what?
Mumble.
I had a quart bottle of Mambo.
Are you drinking booze on the air?
No, I swear to God, it wasn't booze on the air. I had a pizza last weekend.
And you're coming in here and drinking Mambo malt liquor while you're eating your pizza?
I didn't do it. He did.
I didn't say you did. Bud, if I ever catch you in here again, and if I ever find any alcohol empties in here, you're fired, man. You understand what I'm saying? You're fired. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
You guys can booze it up anywhere you want. You're not going to do it in this studio here.
What about upstairs?
I don't want you... Just never... You know what I'm saying. All right, so... Mecklenburg, Virginia. What happened was this. This county there, which is... and it's a day-old story. I mean, we were supposed to do this yesterday, but we finally got Kurt and Guy on the air. They released some material about Obama that was birther-influenced. And this is what I mean. I'm not saying those guys there are birthers, but I am saying that... Like so many people who are either pro or opposed to a certain candidate, they latch on to things that are sort of popularly driven, and they use them for their own purposes. In this case, they use some of the birther images of born in Kenya, that kind of thing. They also had a very insightful image, and you really have to be brain dead not to get this. You've got to have something wrong with you. If you don't understand by now that in the United States of America, characterizing an African-American in witch doctor costume, you may think it's really funny because, you know, and I don't know who, I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, I'm saying the person who does that may think it's just hysterically funny, but it is in total an offensive image taking into consideration the history of this country. Now, anyone that, you know, says, oh, I was only joking, they're either a walking, breathing, living imbecile. I mean, you know, a absolute perfect replication of a jackball, of which there are probably more from whatever cell or from whatever petri dish they, you know, sprung from. Take it easy, bud. Or you're a liar. You know, that individual's lying.
I agree. I think anyone that says the witch doctor outfit on Obama somehow is supposed to be attractive. Now, I'll give you that there are some blacks that it's attractive. I'm not being racial about this. All right?
Well, what does that mean?
What's that mean?
Hold on. I'm not a racist. I'm a liberal, Robert, okay?
Yeah, I know, but what do you mean I look attractive?
I'm saying, if you take, for instance, James Earl Jones, he can pull it off. If you take...
But Margaret, wait a second. We're not talking about who looks good in witch doctor outfits. We're talking about the president in a political campaign.
I understand that, Phil. I'm saying that one of the things that draws away from that is that he is the president. If it was James Earl Jones, you might say, oh, that's ha 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 ha, you know.
No, you wouldn't say ha 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 ha. You'd say the same thing. This is the point that I'm trying to make.
Well, I don't know what you're saying.
I know you don't know what I'm saying. The point that I'm trying to make is, if you live in America and you're an American and you still try to get away with the following, oh, it's just a sense of humor. Why don't you get a sense? This is exactly what those jackasses in Mecklenburg, Virginia. Oh, well, come on. Ain't you got a sense of humor? Look at pal. I don't know who you think you're talking to, but some of us are not the dumbest, you know, we're not the dumbest part of the family of man tree, okay? You got Obama in a witch doctor outfit, it means one thing. The guy is African, and as a witch doctor, he ain't the brightest African. He's certainly not the most evolved African. So we get it, what you're saying, and you're full of crap, and stick it right back up your you-know-what where you found it. Or maybe you found it up your mom's you-know-what.
Now, shut up.
All right. So having said all of that, the GOP agreed with me. The Virginia GOP agreed with me, and they said this is absolutely unacceptable. You got to understand, this is the Republican Party of Virginia agreed. And they sent a message to this slob down there in Mecklenburg, Virginia, and said thus and so. Folks, back in 2004, we were on the air on our radio show. We said the same thing. We said, you know what's going to kill the Republican Party? All of these, the real degenerate end of it was like the Republican Party in South Carolina. They didn't want any gays. They kicked all the gay people out of their convention. I said, well, this is what's going to kill that party, man. And that, and now here we have 2012, 8 years later, one Republican term, then a Democratic term, leading up to an election in 2012 where the Republicans were saying, this is going to be a recall. This is going to be an American, this will be basically a mandate from the American people. Big mistake electing Barack Obama. Get him out of there and let's put a good old-fashioned solid Republican in there who will have good old-fashioned solid Republican values in there, because Obama is a disaster, the worst president we've ever had, just as they said about Bush. And you remember what happened when they said Bush was the worst president ever. He got elected to another term.
Yeah, be careful when you call someone the worst president ever.
Absolutely. Because if you think that a guy is the worst president ever, it's obvious that that man has polarized people, and there's a whole bunch of people who think he's the greatest thing that has ever happened to the country. And that was the case with George Bush. And that very well may be the case with Barack Obama. You say the guy's the worst president ever? I got news for you. There's a whole lot of people who think he's pretty damn good. Now what we're looking at here is a Republican Party, and, you know, pardon me for using the term, the chicken's coming home to roost with these guys. They didn't control that part of their party, that edge of their party that was just whacked out, gonzo, crazy, psycho with the witch doctor stuff, and they don't like gays, and they've got watermelon hair and everything. Yeah, it's real funny. It's great. It's funny up until you see what happens in November when Obama gets in for another term. You going to be laughing then? Because you, Mr. Mecklenburg, Virginia, you're the ass. You and other people like you will make up a part of the reason why.
Well, I don't understand. Are you for Obama or not?
I've already come out and said I'm going to vote for him again. Okay, just so you can be clear.
Wait, you voted for him already?
Yes, I did. I told you I did. The killer for me with McCain was Palin. The killer for me with Romney is this kind of stuff. Not to mention the fact that Romney seems to, he seems to be a little more befuddled and confused than I ever thought possible. All right, let's take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show coming back with more news. What's been happening from the campaign and other stuff. Stuff we didn't get to last night.
What about that alcohol enema?
I don't know about that, man, you know.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and listen to that.
Well, about that guy?
Some kid, and I don't want to make a joke out of it. Some guy had an alcohol enema, I think, and almost OD'd on it. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth well, like is a pipe our up bitch.
Yeah, he shotgunned a beer up his butt. Shut up, man.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. In the next hour, in our second hour, we will announce the name of the winner of a backstage pass for a year to our website, philhendryshow.com, from the abundance, the cornucopia of people who have hashtag BSP at Phil Hendry Show over Twitter and people who have liked our fan page at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans.
Yeah, and you spell that P-H-A-N-S, is that right?
Yes, P-H-A-N-S.
Why do you do that?
Because that's how we, Margaret, you know.
Well, I'm just asking, Phil, because a lot of people have found that very confusing. Okay. Bud, haven't you found that to be the case?
No, not really.
Well, then why did you lie through your teeth and tell me that you did?
Well, because I'm on a year now, and I've changed my mind.
You've changed. So you stand there and lie, and you make me look like the bad person with egg dripping off my chin.
Yeah.
Hand me a towel, Phil.
Why should I hand? You don't have egg dripping off your chin.
I know that, but I want to make a symbolic gesture as to the humiliation that has happened here. And
oh, come on, Margaret, will you?
I said to hand me a towel.
Here, there's a towel.
All right. Now, symbolically, I'm wiping the egg from my chin. See?
Yeah.
And what does that say to you?
Reminds me of a porn movie.
You filthy...
Hey!
Margaret, come on.
I have had it with that...
Look at Margaret. You're the one that walked right into that, okay?
Yeah, you say you wipe your toweling off.
I didn't say I was toweling off.
You kicked me in the ribs again.
That's right. You want some more?
No.
Oh, grow up. You're all right.
Margaret, look, at all he said was it reminded him of a porn movie. You're toweling your face off. What is he supposed to say?
He's supposed to say it reminds him of me wiping egg from my face as the result of him lying and saying, oh, well, now he supports you. And I had said, I don't even know what we're talking about.
That's the whole thing. I don't know what we're talking about either. All I know is that you went after him again, threw him to the ground, and kicked him in the ribs with those high heels. You did it last night.
That's right, and I'll do it again, too. You want to see it again?
No, I don't, but at some point I have to step in.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, you know,
come on, Margaret, back off.
No, come on, you want some?
What are you looking at? He's got to hold you back.
That's right.
Bud, go get some ice on those ribs.
All right.
Just drag him outside and throw some water on him.
What the...
Well, what are you laughing at?
What the hell is this, like a Western or something? Drag him outside and throw some water on him. Good Lord.
Well, that is caused by you. And you were talking about this backstage. Oh, fans, that's it. Why do you have to spell it like a retard, Phil? I didn't say retard. I said retard.
Well, I don't like the word.
Well, I said the French.
Oh, would you knock it off with the French? Come on.
Well, Miss Anna, if you think about it, you know, it's not as bad when you do the French.
What do you mean it's not as bad? I don't like the word, all right?
Yeah, she said retard.
I said retard. And you spell the word fan like... Do you speak French?
No, of course, you know full well I don't speak French.
All right, le retard, which is, you spell it as the retard. You see? So, oh, aren't you something?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's my show, and that's offensive, and that's what it will always be. And that's how we're going to spell fan, because it's a cutesy-poo way of doing it, and that's just the way we do it.
Oh, real cutesy-poo.
Now, would you attend to Bud, please?
I will do no such thing.
You kicked him in the ribs. This is the second day in a row.
I'll do it. You really hurt, too.
God, I'm going to have you locked up.
I would love to see you try that.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Kick me in the ribs. Oh, stop. Shut up, Bud, or I'll come over and kick you again.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And I have it here.
I want to see that story.
All right, hold on. I want to read the story here. This is a young actor by the, and you may have heard the story, Johnny Lewis. He was one of the stars of this television series, Sons of Anarchy, which is essentially a show about a motorcycle club of motorcycle-type guys. And you like it, Bud, right?
Yeah, it's the best show on TV, in my opinion.
And it's about these guys that they were involved in some bad stuff, and now they're, like, doing good stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of doing the bad stuff they was doing. They were running guns, and...
they're, like, drugs and running guns and stuff.
And now they're trying to, like, be cool.
Yeah, on account of... they call it Sam Crow, is the name of it, because it's the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club.
Well, what does that mean, Sam Crow?
It's like Sam, S-A-M-C-R-O, Sam Crow.
I don't understand.
You don't sound like a Sam Crow, you know?
No, I don't understand. It sounds like gibberish.
All right, well, in any event, so that's the basic thing. And one of the actors on the show, Johnny Lewis, according to the article, now this young man has died as the result of a very bizarre and maybe not so bizarre series of events. Johnny Lewis's acting career was looking up, says this article from the LA Times. The 28-year-old actor had spent two seasons playing Kip Halfsack Epps on the popular Sons of Anarchy motorcycle gang drama.
Yeah, see, they call it a gang. They should not say it's a gang.
Why not?
Because it's not a gang. It's a club.
Well, a gang intimates illegal activity, right?
Well, those clubs are illegally. They do all kinds. What are you talking about?
Do I got to go through this speech again? Some of these clubs have members that are felons. Some of them have members that do illegal stuff. It doesn't mean that the club was chartered to do illegal stuff. Because you guys are talking about this from the RICO standpoint, right?
Who's that?
What do you mean, who's that?
Yeah, is that a guy?
It's a series of laws. The RICO, it's the...
It's racketeer in... Can I do it?
Go ahead.
Racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. It means that if you have an organization that is in existence to break the law, to break... Do you understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Oh, my God.
It means that if the organization was char... If the organization, the club, Bud, they have this motorcycle club, and in the rules or otherwise in the directives that come from the club itself that require that your membership you are required to maintain your membership by behaving a certain way, and that way is illegal at times, that's a corrupt a racketeer-influenced corrupt organization. That means your organization is in place to break the law.
Well, what about like Hell's Angels? That's what that is.
No, the Hell's Angels, as a matter of fact, they charged the Hell's Angels with that in the early 70s, and they never were able to prove it because it wasn't the case. The Hell's Angels have members that have acted illegally. They have members who have been felons. They have members that have been to prison. But there's nothing in the Hell's Angels bylaws that says you must deal drugs, you must break the law, you must do this, you must do that.
Oh, so that's how they get around it.
Well, it's not getting around it. You can say a guy has broken the law, but you can't say an organization is a corrupt organization if it isn't. You can say that there are members who are engaged in illegal activity, you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they're the club is.
I understand, but I think it's still a very shady, anyway.
Well, no, it's all right. So the Sons of Anarchy. Can I get back to the story, please?
What are you yelling at, man?
Yeah.
I'm yelling because you guys keep sidetracking me. Anyway, the 28-year-old actor had spent two seasons playing Kip Halfsack Epps on a popular Sons of Anarchy motorcycle gang drama. That's what it says here, bud. I'm sorry. And was steadily landing movie roles. But behind the scenes, Lewis was, quote, unraveling. He was arrested three times this year, drowning in drugs and mental health issues, according to court records and those who knew him. The problems culminated Wednesday in a bizarre altercation in Los Feliz, where police say the actor fatally bludgeoned his 81-year-old landlady and attacked a painter and a neighbor before falling to his death. Good God!
Oh, my God.
Los Angeles police detectives are still trying to piece together what happened at the sprawling hillside home of 81-year-old Catherine Davis. Neighbors describe Davis as a kind-hearted friend who rented out parts of her two-story home to actors and others in Hollywood. Davis advertised her home as the Writer's Villa, set up for creative people. It's located in the Los Feliz it's located in the Los Feliz Hills in the same range of foothills as the famous Hollywood sign. Lewis had rented a room once before from Davis, though officials are not sure how long he'd lived there. What is clear is that Lewis' latest arrival came after several arrests and jail stints.
Maybe that's why they hired him to be on Sons of Anarchy, because he'd been in jail and stuff.
You can't say that. On account of that, that'd make the Sons of Anarchy racketeer influence.
Just be quiet. I don't want to hear from anybody. I want to finish this.
Yes.
Lewis had been released from Los Angeles County Jail 5 days prior to the slaying, following a series of criminal cases that dated back to January. Sources familiar with the case said there were multiple attempts by family and authorities to help Lewis with drug abuse and mental health issues. A probation report tied to one of his cases spoke of Lewis's struggles. There are significant issues which should be addressed. Obviously, defendant's behavior is out of control. Anyway, he was arrested in January. He broke into a Northridge home and beat two men with an empty Perrier bottle. He had once lived in the same complex. One of the victims, who asked not to be identified, said he found Lewis in an upstairs room that morning. Lewis, who was only wearing pajama bottoms, told one of the men that he'd seen an intruder and was checking to see if everything was okay. When the man and his brother-in-law tried to get Lewis to leave, he attacked, biting them and beating their heads with a bottle. Good God. He was arrested. He was later released on bail. The third arrest would come 8 days later when he tried to sneak into a Santa Monica home, a crime that was thwarted after a woman saw him and began screaming. He was released. What the hell is it with these guys creeping into houses? He was released on bail in March but failed to appear in court and was arrested on a bench warrant. He went to Ridgeview Ranch in Altadena, completed a month of treatment. I guess that's a drug treatment place. On August 17th, they ruled in both the assault and burglary cases that Lewis had fulfilled his sentences. He was put on probation. What happened next is not entirely clear, but Lewis eventually found himself back in county jail. He was released September 21st for reasons that are also not clear.
Well, why did they keep him employed on the television show?
What difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
What do you mean, what difference does it make? It makes the television... What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, what difference does it make if he was... The TV show's not the problem here. The guy's the problem. So he had a joke. What he's saying, that because he was on the TV show, it caused him to act this way. If he'd been fired from the TV show, he wouldn't have acted this way. The guy had a problem, whether he was employed by a television show or whether he was a Fuller Brush salesman or whether he was selling Florsheim shoes. The guy had a problem, no matter what he does for a living. The neighbor said his wife, this was in, now we're on to August the 17th. 5 days later, he was at the Spanish-style home in Los Feliz where he rented a room from Davis. The owner of the home next to Davis said Lewis approached him Wednesday morning and introduced himself as John, a new neighbor. Lewis left but returned 15 minutes later and hopped a front yard fence and began attacking a painter working at the neighbor's home. The neighbor said his wife ran to help and started screaming for help. The neighbor joined the fray, but he said Lewis was not pleased by the blows, was not fazed by the blows he took. It was like hitting him with a fly swatter, added the neighbor, who asked to remain anonymous because he was concerned about his safety. The three men managed to shake Lewis and rushed into the house, throwing their bodies against the door as Lewis struggled to get inside. But his cat is like
got like crack cocaine strength.
I don't know, like angel dust strength. So he's trying to push in the door. When police arrived, he was dead in Davis's driveway after apparently falling from a roof or a balcony. His body was Davis's body was discovered in her home. Her cat had also been killed. Good God. She died of blunt head trauma, and she'd also been strangled. Well, you know, one of the reasons why we even know this story is because he was a well-known actor, or he was on a well-known show. If this was just some guy out there in the world, like that dude, that zombie killer dude, you know, we would treat it, you know, this is not even all that radical. I mean, the zombie guy was interesting only because he ate some guy's face. You know, this cat, if he was not an actor, it would have been just a home that was broken into, a woman that was killed, and then he falls off the roof, he's dead, and we don't care. But because he was on the show, we have an interest in it, we want to know more about it, and I don't think that that's necessarily bad, because this is mental illness that needs to be talked about. It's a kind of mental illness that is probably treatable with meds. You ain't going to treat this kind of stuff with psychotherapy.
What about finding out what happened? Like, what was his relationship like with his mother?
You know, Margaret, that isn't going to do anything. This guy is a time bomb. This guy's walking around assaulting people. This guy needs drugs, man. The right kind of drugs. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. That was a bizarre and sobering man. Coming up, the guy that made the anti-Muslim film has been put in jail over a probation violation. Get a load of that. What is that about? The dude that made the anti-Muslim film that caused all of that, or at least inspired a lot of that violence in the Middle East, this guy's in jail over probation. We'll have that story and more when we come back at a world-famous Phil Henry show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Well, that's where we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here. Dr. Sadler in San Diego. Dr. Sadler has been on our program and contributes on issues of mental health. Coming back from a conference, I know, in Marina Del Rey. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you for asking us on the program this evening. It's wonderful to be on with you.
Thank you. You know, we were talking about Johnny Lewis, the actor, and I don't want to get any specific story here or any specific case, but we were talking during the break. What, Margaret?
Doctor, this is Margaret Gray. I want to ask you, don't you think this is an area of constitutional law that I think Phil is going into an area that... Can you hear me, Doctor?
Yes, I can't comment on constitutional law.
Yeah, he can't say anything about that.
But, Doctor, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. I'm sorry, Phil, but don't you think, Doctor... Doctor?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
You don't have to yell, Margaret.
All right, because I can't hear him.
Yes, you can. You can hear him.
Yes, I know, but all the background noises, it bothers me. Can't you make...
Well, I'm in my car right now, Miss Gray. If you wanted, I could... you want me to pull over? Oh, I'm not driving the car. I could have the driver pull over, if possible.
If you could. I'm sorry, Doctor...
Well, I can hear him, though, but I don't like the background noise because it is aesthetically displeasing. You know, Doctor?
I understand. Quan Ching, could you pull the car over, please?
Quan Ching?
Yeah, what's that, like a Chinaman?
Just easy with the Chinaman thing, okay?
What do you say?
Nothing.
All right. Okay. We pulled over at one of these park and rest or rest and park, however they call that. Okay.
I'm still hearing that background noise.
Yeah, I am too. Are you sure that you've stopped?
Yes, I'm sure we've stopped. We have pulled over, and we are now in a rest stop.
Okay, that sounds better.
No, it just got worse.
Forget about it, will you? And just,
my goodness, Phil.
You know, you talk about medication. Oh, my God.
No, you know, will you just ask him the question?
All right. Dr. Sadler, this is Margaret Gray. How are you?
I'm fine, Margaret. How are you?
I'm great. Dr. Sadler, my question is as follows. Pursuant to this Johnny Lewis case.
Well, Phil said that he doesn't want to talk.
I don't want to talk about specific cases.
Right.
All right. Well, all right. Then we won't talk about the Johnny Lewis case then. Let's talk. What was that?
What?
It sounded like a bomb went off.
All right, Margaret, I have to take over the floor from you then. You know, because you're not getting to the point.
Well, are you sure that you're stopped?
Yes, we're stopped in a parking ride. We're actually stopped in a darkened lot. I don't like it here, but I have stopped so that you could ask your question.
But we're still hearing the background noise, and you go ahead and get back on the road.
Well, I don't understand.
Crunching, go ahead and hit it. Yeah, just hit it. Let's get out of here. We're in a darkened parking lot, Phil. I don't like it at all, and I told Kwong Ching to go ahead and get us back up onto the 5 and get us back into San Diego County. I think it creeps me out every time I come north, you know, and it's probably just my nerves or something.
All right, can I want to talk to the doctor.
Margaret, if you don't ask a question real fast.
All right. Dr. Sadler, my question is as follows. What is the best way to know if your son has any kind of sexual fantasy about you?
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about now?
Excuse me, but I'm asking the doctor. Dr. Sadler? Dr. Sadler?
He can hear you.
I hear you, Margaret.
Are you yelling at me?
Yes, I'm yelling at you. He can hear you.
Dr. Sadler, did you hear my question?
I did hear your question. Do you suspect your son of having sexual fancies about you?
No, I don't, but I was just curious if that were to ever occur.
I'm getting sick.
Yeah, me too.
Margaret, okay, thank you very much.
Wait, are you telling me to stop?
Yes, I'm telling you to stop. I want to ask the doctor some questions that are relevant and relevant to what we were discussing, and I'm not interested in your particular questions having to do with sexual fantasy.
All right, maybe it's a private area, and I'll talk to the doctor later on. You don't have to make a federal case out of it. Where are they going?
I'll get out of here. I don't like the questions you ask.
Yeah, me too.
Sit down. She won't ask him anymore.
You don't leave this room because you're grossed out by me. I leave the room because I'm grossed out by you. Do you understand?
Well,
do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, good. You laid down the law. You feel better?
My goodness, Ms. Gray, that was quite almost... that was a display of narcissism that...
Oh, why don't you stuff it, doctor, with the narcissism? I asked you a good question. Phil doesn't want you to answer it. Just go ahead and be and live with the fact that they haven't dropped yet. Or if they did, they shrunk back right up in there again.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Phil, I'm telling you...
Margaret, we're all done with your questions. Thank you.
Yes, but Dr. Sadler, remember...
Just be quiet for a minute.
So I'm going to have to get off the phone if I continue to be subjected to Kwong Ching. Can I get the bottle of wine?
And who is Kwong Ching? Is that the driver?
Yes, it's my driver, Miss Gray. I don't like your question. Can I get a bottle? Give me a bottle of water, please. Give me a bottle of water. Give me a bottle, Baba.
Okay, Dr. Sadler, let's continue, all right?
Yes, I just want to get a bottle, Baba. I know I talk funny. I want a bottle, Baba.
Do you want me to ask him?
Do I want you to ask him what?
I'll ask him to give you a What, are you deaf?
No, I'm not deaf, Miss Kwong Ching. Here's the phone. Hello? Yes, hi. I'm sorry, I'm on the phone now. How do I get off the phone?
Take her off the phone and put her back on her microphone, bud.
Oh, sorry.
Hi, who's this?
Let me go in.
Yes, give Dr. Sadler a bottled water.
Oh, my God.
Yes, a bottled water.
Do you understand? Hey, Okay, yeah, thank you, Crunchy. Slow down, slow down, slow down. You agitated him. He's just...
Well, I didn't mean to agitate him.
All right, wait, do you have a question?
No, I don't.
Fine, Dr. Sadler, sir.
Yes, yes, Phil. I'm perspiring. I'm in a... I don't feel good.
All right, sir, I'll let you go then, okay?
Now go ahead and ask your question. It's okay.
Did you say ask his question?
Shut up. All right, my question is this, Dr. Sadler. Is there a way in your mind, do you know of any way that we can identify people who have mental illness of some kind that is potentially dangerous? Is there a way of identifying these people before they actually act violently? I'm speaking in terms of this. Yes, I won't. We don't have to elaborate on the case, but any individual like either this actor, the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooter, and others. I just read of a shooting in Minneapolis. I don't know what inspired that, so perhaps I'm being a bit premature. But these random acts of violence that are perpetrated by people who are clearly mentally ill, how do we find out who they are?
Well, Phil, you know, running the risk of talking specifically about the case, the actor in question, was giving off warning signals.
Excuse me, but Phil Henry said don't talk about that.
I'll handle it, thank you.
God.
Okay, that, you know, I'm sorry, Phil, I gotta go.
Dr. Sadler, come on.
No, I gotta go. I mean, I've been listening to that woman. I gotta go. I'm telling you, she agitated my driver. She agitated the Chinaman. You know how long I've tried to train myself not to say Chinaman, and one phone call with this broad.
How dare you? I was asking some very good questions.
I gotta go. I gotta get out of here.
What was that?
I don't know. It sounded like Quang Ching might have gone after him.
Yeah, it sounded like maybe that driver turned and went after him.
The driver went after him. Thanks a lot, Margaret.
Are you blaming me? Oh, my God. You're blaming me for a mentally diseased Chinese limo driver. Is that what you're blaming me for? I did nothing but ask some very good questions in an irritating way, yes. But I did not... Oh, we...
Yeah, we've got to take a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Yeah, tell the people what you're doing.
He's going to do what he already said he did.
Okay, hold on. I've been telling you guys about my dieting thing, and I'm 11 pounds away from my goal of 210 pounds. And now that I think about it, this is how you get. You get a little crazy, but not bad crazy, kind of just crazy. You go, 210, why I can make 200, why maybe even 190, you know.
Well, yes, but then that's anorexia. You don't want that.
What's anorexia?
That's when people, you know, Margaret.
Yeah, it's when young ladies think they're fat even though they weigh like 50 pounds.
What?
Yes, it's a delusional state of mind.
There are some women, and men too, who it doesn't matter how skinny they are, they think they're too fat. It is, Margaret said, it's a delusional frame of mind. And it's extremely dangerous, and people have died, the most famous of which was Karen Carpenter of the Carpenters, who sang that song. Bud, you know that song.
Yesterday one more.
Yesterday once more?
No, yesterday once more.
No, it's yesterday once more.
That's what I said.
That's what he said.
No, he did not. He said yesterday once more. It's like if your dog was named Yesterday and he wanted more food.
What? Are you nuts or something?
Don't call me nuts. Don't ever call me nuts. There's mental illness in my family, and I'm very sensitive that way.
All right, hold on, Margaret. Yesterday once more. Is everybody agreed that's the name of the song?
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you... Oh, God, no, you didn't. Oh, God, no, he didn't.
God knows that you're going to heaven, Margaret. Take it easy. There's mental illness in your family.
That's right.
Wow.
Damn.
Don't look at me with the bugged-out eyes like there's... Don't do that, Phil. Don't look at me as if, oh, get Margaret.
All right. I want to tell people about the diet. So 210 pounds is what I'm shooting for. Now, this is a very good example of what I was telling you guys. Because here's the deal, man. And I give myself 2,000 calories a day. That's what I've been doing since March 19th. That's my secret. There's, you know, people talk about, let me tell you something, man. What's that one commercial we were looking at, Robert?
Yeah, that lady said, you can't do it on your own. You know, you just can't.
That lady's pretty creeped out.
Yeah, I think there's some, yeah, she,
yeah, I mean, she's talking about you can't do it on your own.
All right, yeah, she says you can't do it. Yes, you can do it on your own. I did it on my own. What is that supposed to mean, you can't do it on your own? If you're tired of looking like a fat pig, you can do it on your own. I mean, how tired are you looking like a slob? That's all you need. That's the motivation. 2,000 calories a day. And all this jazz about you're going to see all these pills. Forget it, man. What happens is this, is you start eating better. Because you go, if I only got 2,000 calories a day, I'm going to start making those calories count. I'm not going to eat cans of stew. That's how I started out. I started out at... okay, I'm going to eat 2,000 calories a day. Oh, wow, I'll get this can of stew here, and I'll get this can of soup here, and I'll do... And I suddenly realized, you know, there's other stuff I could get that's going to fill me up more, and it's got the same number of calories or even less. And guess what happened? I didn't say to myself, ooh, I must eat more greens and fruits. I didn't do that. I suddenly realized that that's where the calories that were going to fill me up were. In other words, I could go and eat a salad, or I could go and get some fruit, and I would feel a lot fuller, and it was just as many calories, or it might even be fewer calories, you know?
Like what kind of fruit?
Like, I was telling you, like strawberries. Strawberries, man, 6 calories in a strawberry. You can sit there and eat a box of those things, man. It's only about 100 calories. And it fills you up, and they're delicious. So, all right. Yesterday, I was at 1,800, and I think I was at 1,870 calories. And when I say yesterday, today, the, you know, earlier this evening. And we're coming to the end of this calorie day. And I was at 1870. I thought, okay, I got 130 calories left. But I'm still hungry, and there's nothing that I'm going to eat at 130 calories going to fill me up. So I decided I would make this protein shake that I make. And all it is a couple of bananas and protein powder.
What about milk?
Nope, no milk. Water.
Oh, my God. Water?
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, water is fantastic, man, if you're going to make yourself a drink. It's and you put some ice in there, crushed ice. It's delicious.
It's like a smoothie.
Yeah, it's like a smoothie. So I had 2 bananas is 242 calories, and the protein powder is 110. That's 352 calories. I had 170 left. So obviously, I'm going to go over. And I did. It came out to 222 calories over. So that's how many calories I'm going to deny myself tomorrow.
All right. So tomorrow you'll be at 1,778.
What's that?
That's 222 from 2,000, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. I'll either do that, or there's one other thing. This is what I was telling you guys. I'll either do that, or I'll go out and I'll burn off 200 calories tomorrow, and that will get me almost level. So that can be like 200 calories. I know automatically 200 calories is me running down the beach and back. Or I could walk down the beach and back if I do it in a half an hour. That's 200 calories right there. Boom. And I'm back level.
But when are you going to do that? You got to do it before the end of the day, right?
Yeah, you have to do it before the end of the day. Or if I don't want to do that, then I just am going to have to deny myself 200 calories. So tomorrow it's going to be 1,700 and, you know, like Margaret, what is it?
That was 1,720. If you take 2,000...
Give me that, will you, man? You guys are the slowest.
I wasn't the best at math.
2,000 minus 200 is 1,778. That's how many calories. And that's what you do. That's it, man.
But if you go over like 1,000...
Bud, are you being serious?
No, I don't know.
If you go over 1,000 calories, man, then you better work your ass off the next day to get those 1,000 calories off, or you are only going to have 1,000 calories. Because if you're doing 2,000 calories a day and you go over 1,000, the next day you've cut 1,000 off of your off of what you're going to consume. Do you really want to put yourself through that kind of hell?
Yeah, but what if you're just hungry, man? I mean, I get hungry.
You get hungry because, let me tell you something about food. Food is one of these things that we go to whether we need it. We go to it whether we're hungry or not. Sometimes we think we're hungry. We just need the sustenance. We need the what do they call it? The comfort food?
Oh, God. You know, my sister-in-law, Frank's sister, in fact, you know, we called her Bertha because she was overweight, and that is the go-to name, you know, for women that are overweight.
But God, Bertha?
Yes, they call them Bertha because Bertha sounds big. Bertha. You don't know that word?
Well, I'm not really, no.
I do.
All right. Yeah, that's what you call girls that are big. You go, oh, here comes Bertha. And then you do, like, tuba music. Or you go, have you ever done that?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So let's say there's a very dear friend of yours that's a fat slob.
Hold on for a minute. What is this? You're making fun of your friends?
Oh, well. We can't all be like you, Phil, Mr. Squeaky Clean.
Mr. Squeaky Clean? So I was doing making fun of a fat girl named Bertha.
Well, wait. Oh, hold on for just a second here. You do tuba music and you call her Bertha.
Yes, it's all in good fun.
Oh, uh-huh. It doesn't sound that way to me, but I'm not going to judge you.
Oh, no, not at all. You just stopped down for like 30 seconds here, giving me all kinds of hell about it. So this is Frank's sister. She's not even a dear friend. In fact, I don't really like her much. I tolerate her. Frank brings her around.
Okay, so she went from being your sister-in-law to you tolerate her.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
So her name's Bertha, and when she walks in the room, we go, da-da-da-da. What's the big deal?
It just sounds very cruel to me, that's all.
You know, Phil, when you put on that whole Phil the big brother and the protector of the morally weak and the people that are so put upon, when you put that act on, boy, I almost believe it myself.
Shut up. So you think I'm full of crap, huh?
Well, Phil, I can't possibly. What's the big deal?
The big deal? Why don't we get Frank on the phone? We'll find out.
Frank agrees. Bertha, she's a wonderful girl. I like her, sort of. It's just that she got the weight off, and she...
Let me get Frank on the phone here, okay? Get him on the phone.
Who?
Who did I just say?
Frank?
Yes, Frank.
Why do you have to talk to Frank?
I'm going to talk to Frank about this because I think I hear something here that I'm not quite hearing. There's something going on with what you're telling me that is... Where is he anyway?
He's over at Ted's.
He's at the restaurant?
Yes.
Call him up, will you?
Yeah. Give me Ted Bell. I don't give a damn. Give me Ted Bell. The Phil Henry Show.
Don't talk to them like that. Hi, Phil Henry. Can I put him on here?
Yeah, Ted Bell. Hello.
Hey, Ted, it's Phil Henry.
Hey, how you doing?
Is Frank Gray there?
Oh, hello, Rain. The table free. We're in a big rush, Phil. What's going on?
I want Frank Gray.
Who?
Frank Gray.
I don't know who the hell he is. Who the hell is Frank Gray? Frank Gray.
Ted, this is Margaret.
What?
It's Margaret.
Hold on for a minute. Table three, okay? Come on. I got the mayor of L.A., Villagrosa's coming in here in a half an hour, okay? You want Frank, huh?
Yeah.
Take the phone over to Mr. Gray's. Take the phone over to Mr. Gray's table. The phone, what I'm holding here. Hold on, Phil. I'll get him for you. I'm sorry, Phil. We're in a rush.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, what? The phone. The thing I'm holding here. Get Angela. I'm sorry, Phil. Hold on.
Okay, we're going to get Frank Gray on the line.
Why do you want to embarrass me?
I want to find out some things. You're talking about his sister.
Angela, here, honey. Take this phone over to that gentleman there. That's Mr. Gray? Yeah. Take the phone over to him. Him. This. You see this? This is a phone. You see what I'm holding here?
You gotta be kidding me.
Hold on. What?
You gotta be kidding me.
Just wait. No, I can't do it myself. This phone, take it over to that man. This is a phone. This is a telephone that I'm holding here in my hand. I want you to take this over to that man over there. Do you understand? Oh, my God.
What do you got going there anyway, man?
Hold on.
I mean, hold on, Phil.
Why are you yelling at him?
Because for some reason, he can't get somebody to understand that the phone has got to go over to your husband's table.
I'll take it myself. No. Get your hands off. I'll take it myself. I'm going to take it. No, now you want to do it? I want to take it myself. No, you don't get to do it. I'm taking it myself. I'm taking it myself. Hey, Eddie, get her off of me, will you? Get her off of me. Get her off of me. Get her off of me!
What is going on over there?
Yeah, I think he's got a lot of weird-ass work on there.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll get Frank on the phone, and we'll talk to Frank about this sister of his that's Bertha that gets the tuba music. This is really weird.
I'm taking the phone myself. You don't get to take the phone because I asked you and you wouldn't take it. There's the phone! Hold on, Phil.
Yeah, I'm holding on, man. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
God, are you kidding me? I'm taking the phone. No, I get to take it. It's my phone.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we have to pull the winner of our year's backstage pass right after the news at the top of the hour. I thought we were going to do it this hour, right?
Yeah, they've got to get her and got to find out about it.
I didn't understand one word of that.
Neither did I.
They still got to find out about it.
Which means you guys didn't draw the winner yet.
No, no. We're going to draw the winner, but we're going to do it later.
Oh, I see. So when I told you I wanted it this hour, you decided, oh, okay, Phil wants it in this hour. Let's do it later.
No, we thought we had the time of the news.
You guys are going to do it at the top of the hour?
Yeah.
All right. So we will do it first out of the gate in the next hour. Okay. So having said all that, we will do that. Some lucky winner will win 1 year's free subscription, a whole year of access to our archives. Coming up here in this next hour.
Yeah, I just talked to Frank. He's on the phone. Ted is having a heck of a time over there. He's very busy tonight. And he has Mayor Villagrosa coming in and his entourage. So it's a very hectic evening.
Boy, it sure is late, isn't it?
It is late, but I think they were at a fundraiser.
Okay. So I understand Ted's got, a lot of stuff going on there. Mayor Villagrosa coming in. So we're going to talk here in a moment to Frank Gray, and the major question that we have, and I'm not trying to upset you, Margaret, or embarrass you. You said that you guys call Frank's sister, whatever that is.
We call her Bertha, and we play a tuba when she walks in the room, and it's great fun. Because she isn't anymore. How do I say it? She was a beast, Phil. She was a beast. She was the beast that didn't stop. She was that which emerged. She didn't just come out of the bedroom in the morning when she visited us. She emerged from the hallway. Do you know what? You know how big someone has to be when they emerge and not just walk down a hall?
But yeah, I can well imagine that, Miss Gray.
Thank you, Bud.
Well, probably pretty big.
When someone emerges, I haven't even begun to consider what that. I suppose you're right. Let's get Frank Gray on the phone here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Young man, I'm better than Custer. How are you? It's just Ted came over here frantically. He's got this young lady. They're breaking in a new waitress tonight, and I don't know what. You talk about stupid. Some of these people here are as dumb as the day is long, and they're as dull as hell.
Frank, it's Margaret.
Yeah, honey.
Phil was asking about your sister, we call her Bertha.
Oh, yeah, Clandoline, yeah. Well, they call her Bertha, Phil, because she had a weight problem, and they always played the tuba when she walked in. Margaret had played, she didn't play tuba, I think somebody, who played the tuba there?
No, no one played the tuba, but we always had a recording of a tuba ready.
Oh, that's right. They always had a recording ready.
They had a recording of a tuba ready.
Yeah, they would do that, and they play the tuba when she walked in. But I never found it to be a very tasteful or anything. I always felt that it was something was wrong.
Well, what I wanted to do for Phil is give him an idea as to what that sounded like. So she would walk in, and because Phil was criticizing me for this.
Well, I felt that it was bad, especially now. She's lost all this weight, and she looks a lot better than Margaret does. And I'm sorry to have to say that, honey.
Well, you know something, Frank? I was hoping that you would hold back on that.
Well, she does, but she looks better than you. Her butt's nicer. Her boobs are bigger. She's got a smaller waist. Her face, she doesn't have that big honking nose that you've got.
and but she's my own sister. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm playing This Is What She Will Always Be to Me.
How dare you? That was a terrible...
What the hell? Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because that was the funniest thing. Where did you get that?
That is the sound effect.
Yeah, that's what they played.
Here she comes. Here comes Bertha. Waddling down the hall.
That is a horrible thing to do.
See, that's... And then she'd go into the bathroom and close the door.
Well, how did that poor girl react to that?
What's that?
How did that poor girl react to that?
The restaurant's too loud. I can't...
Well, you're kidding.
I'm sorry, I can't fit. Here it is.
Staccato.
Here she comes. She's coming down the hall. And she's going to come into the kitchen now and have a bite to eat.
I think that's just as wicked a thing as you could possibly...
Now she's leaving without helping with the dishes.
How dare you? That's my dear sister. I got to admit, though, it's funny.
Yeah, okay. I get it. And now she's got all the weight off.
Yeah, she's got the weight off, and she looks wonderful, Phil. And Margaret's upset because my sister has got a way better...
And that's your sister as she gets ready to go out for the day.
Frank, thank you.
Well, I don't think it's fair for...
You just hung up on my husband.
That's exactly what I did. Because listening to him and listening to the thing and this and that... Where did you get that tuba music?
This is the stuff that I brought from home. Here it is right here.
Yeah, she gave it to me and I queued it up.
This is the stuff you brought from home?
Yes, don't look at me like I'm a freak.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you something. You cue up tuba music to mock the sister of your husband because she's too fat, and you've saved it, and you brought it in.
Yes, what's wrong with that?
It's just very bizarre behavior. Now, where is this young lady?
Frank's sister? She's back home in Houston. She's married to a guy who's working for Standard Oil or something. They live in Houston. But when, yes, she dropped all that weight. Yes, she's got a big pair, and all the things that Frank said are true. But the fact is, I've always been hot, and she only got hot as the result of us encouraging her. Not by way of giving her diets and not by way of suggesting doctors. We encouraged her with a nickname and this. There.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I think it's mocking and cruel. Mocking and cruel. For anybody to have to put up with that. And I think it's hard enough to lose weight. As you well know, I went through it. And,
that's you walking down the hall.
There goes Phil into the studio. And he just sat down.
Ha ha ha. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show, with the winner of our year, BSP.
Woo! Woo!
Phil Hendry.
Now, see, it's a new day. It's a new day, a dawning here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as I mentioned, we are here every single day, Monday through Friday, from 10 o'clock in the evening Pacific time until 1 o'clock on the Pacific Coast, and 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. All right, in a moment here, we're going to be getting one of our users from either Facebook or from Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah, dude, you're not going to tell nobody yet.
Well, what we thought we would do, can I tell him?
Go ahead.
Phil, I thought I'd take this over because I can see that Bud and Robert were... I'm sorry, but they were making garbage out of it. And
well, we don't know what we're doing.
See, you hear what they're... They don't know what they're doing. What I thought I would do is I would sing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Mo, catch, you know, by the toe.
What do you mean, catch, you know, by the toe?
Well, you can't say the word.
There's a, you can say tiger.
Yeah, you know, tiger.
Well, I've never heard that.
Well, then, if the only version you ever heard was the offensive one, why would you even consider singing that?
Because that's how you choose people. Oh, my God. Haven't you ever been in a group where eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a you-know-what by the toe? And
no, I haven't. There's many different ways of doing it. Okay, and you can say catch a tiger by the toe. You don't have to say the offensive word.
Well, I don't know, so I always go catch a, you know.
Well, that's really great, Margaret. Nice liberal way of thinking there.
No, 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 no. No, no. Listen, friend, you got the fresh meat, okay? Not me.
Oh, get a load of you.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Boy, what is this, like a platoon or something? An Oliver Stone movie? Just go ahead and do what you're going to do.
All right. So we're going to go, are we going to go to Twitter? Are we going to go to Facebook? Are we going to go to Twitter? Are we going to do Facebook? And I'm going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger. Okay, sounds...
Yeah, that's fine.
By the toe, if he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
But you see, she does it too fast, because you got eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Well, who cares, bud?
Well, you've got to do it right.
What do you mean I got to do it right?
We go to eeny, meeny, miny, mo, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, because you're going to miss a beat.
I'll miss a beat, and so what? The gods of eeny, meeny, miny, mo are going to come down from heaven and slay me?
Well, you got to do it right if you don't do eeny, meeny, miny, mo. If you go like this, if you go here.
Don't breathe on me, Robert.
Sorry.
He had clam sauce. He did. He had linguine with clam sauce.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did, because you always talk about clam sauce, so I got some. If you go like this, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe, if he hollers, let him go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you just skip like three beats.
Yeah, that's what you've been trying to say for the last half hour.
All right, fine.
Why don't you do it the right way?
Because I thought I'd save time.
Oh, big deal. How much time are you going to save? Just do it right.
All right, on this side represents Twitter. On this side represents Facebook. Are you ready? Are you ready, Phil Hendry?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, no, I didn't.
Don't do eeny, meeny.
I heard you. God, don't sound like, you sound like somebody waiting in line with a church group. And only you're with the group that's at the back, and all of you are looking at the sky or looking at your feet. That's what you sound like, bud, when you go like that.
But I did what?
When you go, eeny, meeny. All right, here we go.
That was really offensive, by the way.
What was?
You're with a church group, and you're with the group at the back, and all of you are either looking at the sky or looking at your...
You find it funny. Here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a you-know-what by the toe. If...
No, come on, man. Now do it. Do it, tiger, okay?
What is with you, Phil?
Do it. Don't do it that way. You draw attention to it, and I don't like it, and I told you.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I've been ready.
Oh, you look like you've got a lot of anticipation going there. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of anticipation.
All right. Eeny, meeny, I'm sorry, I did it wrong.
I'm gonna do it myself.
You're going to do it yourself?
Yes, if you don't do it right.
All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a I'm sorry.
All right, give me that.
I want to do it.
No, I'm doing it. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, my mother told me that you...
Wait, what is that, man?
You always do, my mother told me, to pick the very best one.
See, I told you he'd do it in a jacked-up way, and you didn't believe me.
Margaret, I owe you an apology. I thought Phil would do way more fair than you, and he didn't do it.
What am I doing that's wrong, man? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. You always add, my mother told me. Okay?
Do you realize how gay you sound, all three of you men? I'm trying to get this over with.
I'm just telling you, you're trying to get it over with by trying to slip in the offensive version. Now, you're going to do it the way I tell you to do it, and we're going to finish it here and now. You ready?
Yes, what a... Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, my mother told me to pick the very best one, and that means you.
Facebook.
All right.
Yay, Facebook.
All right. And now we are going to pick the Facebook, whatever the hell you want to call it, the winner from our Facebook likes. These are all the people that have been on Facebook with us, all of the folks that have joined us. Low these just a few, actually, weeks since we really started asking people to go over and be on Facebook with us. So where are all the people? How do we get to the actual people?
Right here.
Okay. So here are the people that we have on Facebook. And you have to draw their names from there, bud. So, you know, do you have, how are you going to do that?
Going to have to get to the list of the people that are likes, and then you draw the names.
Okay, so where are the list of the, here are the people. This is how many we have on our like page so far. It's whatever it is. It's 1,861. Boy, that ain't that many.
Well, you just started. You weren't really pimping it, as the kids say.
I wasn't really pimping it. Okay, well, we're pimping it now, man. So,
yeah, I got to find out how you find a people and the people.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, here's a list of all the people. Well, you figure that out and get back to me, okay? So there you go. Congratulations to whoever it is. We finally pick off the Facebook page. This is taking longer than I wanted it to take. You understand that?
Well, Phil, it takes time.
Yeah, it takes time to figure out everything that has to be done.
Oh, get out of here. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a... In other news, ladies and gentlemen, this California man who made this movie. Now, this guy, I don't know what this cat's story is. I mean, it's one thing to make a movie, and that's fine. You can make a movie. Now, this guy who made the anti-Muslim film has been jailed over, quote, probation. An Egyptian-American man behind an anti-Islam film that has stoked violent protests across the Muslim world was arrested on Thursday in California for allegedly violating his probation, and a federal judge ordered him jailed without bond. Nakula Basali Nakula was taken into custody at an undisclosed location by U.S. Marshals and brought to court in Los Angeles, still wearing his street clothes, but handcuffed and shackled at the waist. Nakula has been under investigation by probation officials looking into whether he violated the terms of his 2011 release from prison on a bank fraud conviction while making the film, though authorities have said they were not probing the movie itself.
Why'd he say that?
Well, I think they say that because even in America, there are some news people and probably citizens and other concerned people who want to make sure that the man is not being harassed legally for exercising his right to free speech. Not that I particularly agree with this film or don't agree with this film, because frankly, I haven't seen it.
What do you think about it?
I don't have an opinion. I haven't seen it.
Well, but that's not the question. What do you think of the film?
I haven't seen it. How can I have an opinion on it?
Well, certainly you have an opinion on the violence.
Look, violence is going to happen. Here's what my problem. Any government, any country, any society that says the exercising of free speech, the exercising of a person's right to free speech can at times cause people to commit acts of violence and murder, and that's understandable, and therefore cannot guarantee the protection of people, I got a problem with that. And I've gone the other way with this. What if this guy was a Nazi and he was talking about anti-Semitism and it was really cool what happened in World War II, and the guy made a whole movie about how funny it was that Jews were put in ovens? In other words, something that personally, for whatever reason, personally would make me really pissed off.
You ain't pissed off about being Muslims?
I haven't seen the movie, man, so I have to take this. I have to take into consideration, well, what would make me feel? I haven't seen this flick, so what would make me emotionally want to go out and kill somebody? If some cat made a movie that mocked the Holocaust, I got to sit there and say, well, now I'm all pissed off and I want to go kill this guy, but is that in a free society? Well, we have a thing called hate speech, don't we? We have a thing called hate speech that we say people are not protected if they engage in. And so is that the same thing here? Well, we arrest people who are engaged in certain kinds of hate speech. But the one thing that we never, ever, ever allow, we never allow people to get so incensed by someone's speech that they're allowed to go out and kill. We never allow that. And that's where I would draw the line myself, even if it was somebody who had done something or said something that's really pissed me off. All right, we're going to come back with the winner of our, after all of this time, you got a winner picked?
They're going to go do it right now.
The winner of our year's backstage pass. God, is this eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe. My mother told me.
We may have to do it again.
Yeah, we might have to do it again, but
no, we're not doing anything again. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, we'll have the winner.
Truth is our bitch.
I just had deja vu.
When?
Just now.
And now?
And now.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right. Got a winner here, and the winner of a full year of backstage pass. Sorry it took so long. This never again are we doing eeny, meeny, miny, moe. We're just going to spin a bottle or something.
Well, I don't see what's wrong with it.
It's wrong when we got to have an... We argue over everything on this show. Let's face it. We argue about everything on this stupid show. But when we have to argue about eeny, meeny, miny, moe, how that's sung...
Well, Phil, you made the issue out of it.
No, I did. Anyway, here it is. The winner is Denise Aaron. Denise Aaron is the winner of a backstage pass from the world-famous Phil Henry Show for 1 year. And Denise is one of our very, very fine folks who was one of the people that liked us on Facebook. And we had done that whole eeny, meeny, miny, mo bull crap.
God, man. I thought it worked out good.
Yeah, that's great, man. Anyway, Denise Aaron is the winner, and Denise will win a whole year of a backstage pass. We got to find out where she's from, man, because, oh, here's Denise right here. Let's find out where Denise is from. And you haven't finished your post yet. Well, I don't want to finish my post yet. I want to find out about Denise. She lives in Jasper, Alabama, and she's got a husband named James, and seems like a very nice lady. She's got a picture of a flower on her Facebook page. Anyway, Denise, you're our winner of a backstage pass for a year to the Phil Henry Show website. Now, we are going to be drawing for other winners for other backstage passes, so stick around. The other thing that we'll also have is a free weekend that we're going to be doing very, very soon.
Oh, yeah. People like to have a free weekend.
Of course. People like free. Free is good. Free is a good thing. So we're going to do a free weekend. What I mean by that is we will open the entire website up to anybody that wants to come over and access our media, whether it is audio, whether it is video. And remember that we are, you know, within 24 hours of having Apple compatibility for on-demand video, for our on-demand media. So whatever it is you want to go over and just look at on demand, whether it is a part of our video casts, whether it is a part of our audio, whatever, it will be compatible there for your iPhone, as well as, in fact, we are already compatible on the iPhone for audio. I listen to our podcast all the time. It's our video that will be available on demand for your iPhone, your iPad, anything that starts with the letter I and is small, and then the next one is a big letter, I don't know.
Yeah, anything I would start by Mr. Jobs, the man, you know, Steve Jobs, the man.
Hold on, Phil. Robert, you had a little speech that you prepared. Why don't you give that?
Wait a minute, Margaret.
No, let Robert, because he wanted to tell people about the on-demand.
Yeah, I'll let everybody know that, do it the way you did it last night. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I want everyone to know that on a website, the Phil Henry Show website, on-demand video cast, on-demand Phil TV video cast in the video archive will be available on your iPhone, on your iPad, or any product that Steve Jobs, in his wisdom and in his vision, has seen fit to develop and to give to the electronic and media consumer of not only America, and not only this great country, America, but also around the world. Not only the country we so dearly love, but all the people around the world and every country around the world. So help me God.
Yay!
I love that.
That's great.
Thank you. Well, that was beautiful, Robert. When did you write that?
I didn't write it. I just made it up.
Right now?
Yeah.
Boo.
Why are you saying boo?
Because I didn't know you could ad-lib that good.
All right. He ad-libbed. That was very good, especially for an ad-lib. All right, so getting back to our good personal friend here, This guy that got busted, this Mr. Nakula. Now, this is the cat that made the anti-Muslim movie. The court has a lack of trust in the defendant at this time. This guy was put inside for bank fraud. He was put on probation. The court says the judge, the U.S. Magistrate Suzanne Seagal, or Siegel, this was in Los Angeles.
She related to Steven Seagal?
No, I don't. I'll be willing to bet no, she isn't.
Probably Siegel.
Yeah, okay, Suzanne Siegel. Anyway, the court has a lack of trust in the defendant at this time, she said, in refusing Nakula's request for bail at a hearing in U.S. District Court. His crudely made 13-minute video was filmed in California and circulated online under several titles, including Innocence of Muslims. It portrays the Prophet Muhammad as a fool and a sexual deviant. The clip sparked a torrent of anti-American unrest in Egypt, Libya, and dozens of other Muslim countries over the past 2 weeks. The violence coincided with an attack on a U.S. diplomatic facility in Benghazi that killed 4 Americans, including the U.S. ambassador in Libya. You know, one of the other things about any kind of multimedia, any sort of art, is the following thing. How well was it done? How understandable? You see, I got to be honest with you, man. Satanic Verses, written by Salman Rushdie, might be a great book. It might not be a great... I don't know, because I found it incomprehensible. I tried to read it, and it bored the hell out of me, and I didn't give a damn, and I just put it aside. Now, do I believe that the man should be, you know, of course not. I don't think he should be murdered.
No, what are you talking about?
This was the Salman Rushdie thing back in the early 90s.
Yeah, it was in the late 80s. Salman Rushdie was an author, a British-based, I believe Iranian author, who wrote this book called Satanic Verses, and the book so offended the imam in Iran at that time, Ayatollah Khomeini, that he issued a fatwa saying that a son of Islam should go and find this man and kill him. Now, this apparently is according to whatever Islamic law the imam of Iran believes is the Islamic law. I don't know, man. It's like Christian law. You can run afoul of it and say this is it and this ain't it and this is it and that ain't it. And somebody else says something else. And if you get it wrong, everybody gets pissed off. Religion is both. Religion can be violent and threatening and not make any sense at all, and be utterly and completely asinine at times, as articulated by its proponents, and there's nothing you can do about it. You either get it or you don't. And that's the thing that I find the most upsetting and the most offensive, not about religion, but about the people that promote it.
Well, what's the difference in your mind?
The difference in my mind, I don't find a problem with religion. I find a problem with some of the sacks of garbage that run around saying that they're this, that, or something else. You know, I'm a Christian, somebody might say. Well, I think that's really presumptuous to call yourself a Christian, you know, because I think that to be a Christian, there's certain things that you need to practice. There's a certain lifestyle you need to lead. And to be honest with you, maybe one of the things that is necessary to be a Christian is not to call yourself a Christian, because that draws attention. To me, that's an ego trip, you know.
Yeah, but people are going to call themselves a Christian. That's what they are.
Yeah, but what if people stop with that and just be a Christian? And the same thing with Muslims. The same thing with Muslims. There's no difference with Muslims. Muslims walk around wearing their costume, and they got a...
Better people have a dot on their head.
That ain't Muslim, man.
That's not Muslims. Those are Hindu people. But the fact is, people get so heavy into their costume and into their makeup and into their footwear and into their hatwear.
Well, what religion requires footwear?
What religion requires... I'm using an example, Margaret. I'm hearing music. All right, it's time to break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to find out if religion has footwear.
Yeah, man. Here's my footwear.
Yeah, put the footwear up a guy's butt. Woo! Woo! Woo!
Phil Hendry.
know. Let's have little Ian Anderson, who we have had on our program from time to time, to talk with us about the... He doesn't just talk with us about British issues, but I think probably, you know, but...
Yeah, this time Ian probably be good on it.
I don't know who this is.
Little Ian Anderson is a listener of ours who's from Great Britain, but he's talked to us about a lot of stuff, but he never... We don't put him on the air specifically to talk about British stuff, but I don't know where... Have you got him?
Yeah, it's online too.
Little Ian Anderson here from the South Bay. Ian, how are you?
It's good to be on your program. Thank you.
And do you know about, we were sitting here talking about the Royal Guardsmen in Great Britain, in London, the ones that guard the palace? You know the guys that I'm talking about?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Yeah, do you know the Royal Guardsmen that guard the palace?
Right, yeah.
And you know who I'm talking about?
Right, yeah, the blokes, they've got a big high hat. It's not a big high hat.
Yeah, they wear a big fur hat.
Right. That's right.
Okay. I just saw a couple of these guys, and they were holding submachine guns.
Right. It's a special branch, you know, turn left here. I got home at working today, and so I was working late, and so we're driving home sort of late tonight.
Where were you working?
I was working down in Del Mar.
You're in Del Mar? So, what about these Royal Guardsmen? I saw them holding these Uzis.
Right. The Uzis are special issue light weapons, right? And they're special issue weapon for the Royal Guardsmen, right? And the reason why they hold the Uzi, right, is because of the type of duty, right, that they do. As my brother was in the British Army, right? And
your brother was in the British Army?
Right.
Was he wasn't a guardsman?
No, he was stationed in Belize. He was stationed in Belize. He did, like, rescue operations in Belize because of a hurricane and some rescue operation for people that were put out of their houses on account of the hurricane down there.
Okay.
And then he went to the Falklands. And different places like that. He went to the Middle East, too.
Okay.
Well, the Guardsman is different. The Guardsman is a special branch of the British Army, and they guard the Queen and the royal family.
Okay. And so seeing them standing there in front of the castle, I guess, or not the castle, the palace?
Yeah, that's right. It's Buckingham Palace.
Okay. And seeing them standing there with Uzis, it made me, it reminded me that they are, in point of fact, on actual guard duty. They're not just there as a tourist attraction.
Right, right. A lot of people think that the Royal Guardsmen are like going to Disneyland, right?
Right.
And so they go, you go to Disneyland, right, and you see, like, Mickey Mouse, or you see Donald Duck or something like this, right? But it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. You go to Buckingham Palace, or you go to Windsor Castle, or Stranningham, or any of the royal residences, right? And they are there to protect the royal family. And it would be almost like if Mickey Mouse was carrying a gun. Well, it's not going to carry a gun, you know. Mickey Mouse is not going to carry a gun because that's not why Mickey Mouse is there. But the Royal Guardsman is there to protect the royal family, right? But I think they, over the years, the royal family has gotten not the royal family, the guardsmen, the Buckingham Palace, the Royal Guardsmen, right? They've got a reputation, right, of being like, almost like sort of a cartoon, right?
And yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of people that, they always make this big thing about how the Royal Guardsmen don't move.
Right, yeah, like a lot of tourists will go up to a Royal Guardsman, right, and will try and make him laugh, right, or they'll do some dance, or they'll do something, they try to make him laugh, or they'll try and make him twitch or fidget, or move, or something like that, right, but a Royal Guardsman is there to guard the Queen, or guard the King, or guard the royal family, right?
Well, so what happens to them if they move? Is there some big penalty or something?
Well, you're not allowed to behave in any way other than strict military protocol, right? And you've got to adhere to that at all times. And so if you stand there and you're on guard duty in front of the royal palace, and all you're doing is laughing or singing or taking pictures or this or that, well, it's not very safe for the royal family.
And okay, so do they tell them not to move?
Well, they tell them not to move, so they get used to being on the military, you know, a duty, right? And they're not fooling about, right?
Yeah, so they're used to being just in military form, and they never are out of that.
Right, that's right. They're never out of the mindset of being a guardsman of the royal family, because, like, a lot of people down through the years, right, have tried to kill, like, members of the royal family, and they even did when they killed, member of the royal family of who was killed by the IRA. You know?
Oh, that was, oh, man. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He was killed while he was out fishing. And that was that was terrible. That was terrible, you know. So that happened. And also, if people go up and start to bother the royal guardsmen while they're trying to protect the royal family, they've given them those Uzis, right? And if they're distracted enough and they open up with an Uzi, right, it's not their fault. It's no one's fault but the tourists for what they done.
And what are you saying now?
Oh my God!
Well, I'm saying that if you are up bothering him, right, and he's trying to protect the royal family, and he opens up with an Uzi, you got no one to blame but yourself. Isn't that right?
Now, what are you talking about, man? If I go up to a royal guardsman in London.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and they're guarding the royal family, the Buckingham Palace, and I make the guy laugh or I'm screwing up. I don't deserve to die.
Well, I'm not saying you deserve to die or anything like that. I'm just saying that if he's got an Uzi and his job is to protect a royal family, and all you're doing is standing and you're mincing about and you're dancing about, right, and you're trying to make him laugh, or you're trying to do something like that, right, and you're acting the fool, right, and he's finally... says, I can't take it anymore. You know, I can't stand it anymore. Right? Something's got to give, right? Because I can't stand it any longer. And he opens up with an Uzi. Right?
Well, wait, what do you mean he can't stand it any longer?
Well, he's got a job. He's supposed to do...
Yeah, I know he's got a job. He's got a job to protect... I understand the job that a royal guardsman has. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Okay. So I'm standing there, and maybe I'm the most obnoxious ass in the world, okay?
Well, Americans do, you know, see a lot of Americans do this, right? A lot of Americans, they think it's funny, right? Because of I Love Lucy, right? It wasn't for I Love Lucy, right? There were not a lot of Americans over there doing that, right? But all the Yank, there's one Yank bogey's over there that's trying to make a Royal Guardsman laugh, or trying to make a Royal Guardsman, right, you know, scratch his nose or scratch his butt or what have you, right? And all of the I Love Lucy, right? And
what do you mean, I Love Lucy?
Eh?
This is Margaret Gray. Is your name Ian?
Right, yes, Ian.
Well, Ian, this is Margaret. What do you mean, I Love Lucy?
Well, it's like I Love Lucy where they had an I Love Lucy, right?
You mean the episode of I Love Lucy where she tries to make...
Right. It's the episode of I Love Lucy trying to make a royal guardsman laugh, right? And it got all these Americans, all of them come over, try and make a royal guardsman laugh, right? And... he's trying to do his job, and his job is to protect the royal family. It's very much very important part of being British, right? And so a very important part of being British, and Americans are trying to distract him from his job. And so he takes on Slinger Uzi and says, oh, well, it's enough of this, right? I have to put a stop to this, and he does. And so no one's the wiser, right?
Well, what do you mean no one's the wiser? I would think...
What does that mean, man? If he opens up with an Uzi and kills a bunch of tourists, okay?
Right, well, he kills a bunch of tourists, but what was they doing? Right, what was they doing? They was trying to distract him. And...
well, do you think that it's worth killing people if they're distracting you from, well...
Yeah, you're bloody right, because it's a royal family, and the Earl of Mountbatten, that's right, is a Lord Mountbatten, right?
That was the man who was killed by the IRA.
That's right. Lord Mountbatten was killed by the IRA. And who do you know, if people come over, like Americans, and they distract the Royal Guardsman, and he's fidgeting about, he's scratching his balls, or you know, whatever. And the next thing you know, someone's inside the palace, they blow the whole queen up. Well, not the queen, but, you know.
They blew the queen up. Okay, I understand. I don't think it would wash with any court in the world, including a British court, if a Royal Guardsman unslung the Uzi and started spraying all the tourists with bullets and killing all of them because they were distracting him and making him scratch his nose and laugh. I think that that man would be in big trouble.
You see, you're not British, right? You're not British.
Well, Ian, this is Margaret again. What do you mean we're not British? We understand. Many of us love the Queen. I love the Queen. I love and adore the Queen.
Right. You say you love and adore the Queen, and yet you come over and you start scratching yourself, and like your lower women will do that, and lift up their skirt and show it off, you know, like the taco.
Okay, watch it with the taco stuff, okay?
My God.
Well, it's not a lot of American women will do that. When they come over to Britain, and they go, oh, look at, right, you know, you're a Royal Guardsman. Oh, you're not supposed to move, right? Well, let's see what you think of this, right? And they lift it up and they're all like, look at there, get a gander on this, you know? And the next thing you know, he's all looking at it and he's all hot and bothered and like that. And the IRA slips in and they've blown up everything. So it's very necessary, Mr. Henry, you know?
Well, I think, again, I don't think you're thinking very clearly. And I think that there are ways that the Royal Guardsmen have of protecting people beyond just spraying the tourists with bullets.
Well, it's a last resort. It's a last resort. If you can't stop, if you're standing there, you're trying to protect the Queen, you can't stop laughing, and you can't stop all these distractions, then you just unsling it. So, well, I put an end to this, right? And I just start spraying all the bullet, right? And all the people are down, you say, right, there we go, right. It's all done now, right?
Yes, it's all done now, and they'd have that man in a mental ward.
No, he wouldn't. If he's protecting the Queen of England,
No, they'd have him in a nut house.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, I think they would.
No, they wouldn't.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Ian.
No, they wouldn't.
Well, Ian, he knows more about you, do.
Well, I think that's preposterous.
But look, think about it, bud. Even if the guy scratches, if he's a Royal Guardsman and he's being distracted, you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, bug off.
They're not allowed to do that, though.
What do you mean they're not allowed to do that? In other words, they're not allowed to talk or move, but they're allowed to take the Uzi and start spraying people with bullets.
Yeah. The whole rule is you can't move.
No, man. You can move if it means moving or unslinging the Uzi and killing people. I bet you you can move. I bet you there's a rule that says you can move.
I don't know, man.
No, it's, you know, believe me. All right, we'll be back. What do you think the English are? You think they're crazy?
No, they're the English are more civilized than America.
And you think that's civilized, huh?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know where I went wrong with you guys, but I went wrong.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Right, right. I'll put a stop to this right now.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're back here, and we just gave away a year of a BSP to Denise Aaron, who is a resident of Jasper, Alabama. Thank you very much as well, Little Ian Anderson, for joining us.
You know that's the same name as the man that sang on Jethro Tull.
Yes, I know, but we call him Little Ian, so there is a difference.
Where'd you meet that guy? Hey, I met him.
He's Bud's friend.
Yeah.
Where'd you meet him, Bud?
I met him at the racetrack at Del Mar.
What did he do down there?
He was a hot walker.
He was a hot walker at Del Mar?
Yeah. But they like a, was he like a, used to be a jockey? Yeah, he used to be a jockey in England.
He was a jockey, huh? We should have talked to him about horse racing when the Derby came around, man.
I told you, you aren't going to do that.
I don't remember you asking me. I apologize. So the next time we have... When's the Breeders' Cup, man?
Breeders' Cup next month.
The Breeders' Cup is wonderful. Is that? Are they going to have that at the... are they having that at the Indy 500?
The Breeders' Cup is a horse race.
Yes.
The Indy 500 is a car race.
All right, don't yell at me. Don't ever raise your voice to me.
All right, okay, we got it. All right, so the Breeders' Cup... is, in point of fact, a horse race, and it's a series of horse races, beginning with, I think, shorter distances and younger horses, and then it culminates, I believe, in a big three-year-old kind of stakes race, the kind of race that we're more familiar with, the big handicap races, you know. What, Margaret?
Well, what's the difference between... What's the Indy 500?
That's an automobile race.
That's a car race.
No. I don't mean that. What's the no, not that. The Indy... What is the race?
You talk about Kentucky?
Yes, the Kentucky Derby.
That's a horse race. The Derby is a race for three-year-olds. Okay? A handicap, I got it wrong. A handicap, I believe, is a race for any horse can enter a handicap. A handicap can be horses up to, like John Henry, the great John Henry was a horse that I used to watch. John Henry was an eight-year-old. And John Henry was a horse that really hadn't shown much of anything for a number of years. He was a gelding, as they called him.
What's that?
That's when they don't have their you-know-what.
Yeah, some male horses, they do that too. But John Henry, all of a sudden, when he hit his eighth year, became a madman and won everything in sight. And he won the Arlington Million, and he won everything out on the West Coast here, and he won everything back east. And he was just he was a crazy man, and he was an amazing horse. He was an eight-year-old, and he won these different handicap these stakes races. But he was never in a Derby race because the Derbies, the Santa Anita Derby, the Kentucky Derby, are for three-year-olds. The Preakness and the Belmont, these are for three-year-old horses. And that's what, I hope I'm getting that right. I think I'm getting that right. And that's what those races represent. All right, we got a couple of other things that we'd like to do here before we leave the airwave. So did we update everybody on this Jack Ball who did the anti-Muslim film? Yeah, okay. Iran, there's all kinds of crazy-ass Middle Eastern news here. Iran claims a right to retaliate after Israel UN speech. Iran is warned it is ready to retaliate against attack after Israel's prime minister urged a red line to be drawn over its nuclear program. Benjamin Netanyahu told the UN...
Oh, wait a minute. This was when Benjamin Netanyahu had the picture of the bomb.
Well, I don't know. He gave a speech. Yeah.
Oh, that was ridiculous. I think that the Iranian people should, you know, laugh at that.
Why don't you just let me read this, okay?
Oh, am I getting into your comfort range here, Phil?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, I think Iran is being run right now by the biggest pack of clowns the world has known since the circus came to town. Okay, so don't start talking to me about what Netanyahu was doing and about the picture he had of the bomb. That guy that they got running Iran, that Ahmadinejad, you got to be kidding with him.
They are claiming their right to develop peaceful nuclear energy.
Oh, well. If you believe that... May I interest you in a bridge that I just saw over here? It's not mine, but I'll let you borrow it.
Phil, you don't have...
Yeah, tell me how I don't know what I'm talking about. In any event, Benjamin Netanyahu told the UN time was running out to stop Iran from having enough enriched uranium for a nuclear bomb. In response, Iran's deputy UN ambassador said his country was strong enough to defend itself. Israel and Western countries suspect Iran is seeking a nuclear capability. Tehran says its program is peaceful. Iranian deputy UN ambassador something said his country was strong enough to defend itself and reserves its full right to retaliate with full force against any attack, which basically means that Israel would wipe them off the face of the earth inside of a week.
All right.
Anyway, Mr. Netanyahu told delegates at the annual meeting of the assembly that Iran could have enough material to make a nuclear bomb by the middle of next year, and a clear message needed to be sent to stop Tehran in its tracks. Well, anyway, there you go.
Well, what do you mean, there I go?
I mean, it's just a bunch of, it's the same back and forth, you know? It's Iran saying that they're going to develop this nuclear program, and it is Israel saying that country has said that they're going to wipe us off the face of the earth, and so if they try to develop a nuclear reactor, we're going to bomb the hell out of it, and that'll probably mean a war, and there you go.
Well, I don't think that Israel should be allowed...
you know, Margaret, don't, you know, not tonight. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show was produced by myself and Dan Northcraft, and, of course, along with Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, and Robert Leonard. We do thank you for joining us. Congratulations again to the winner of the full free year of BSP. That is Denise Aaron. And we'll see you guys again tonight. Although we are doing that one-man show thing, right?
Well, you have a rehearsal.
I've got a rehearsal of the one-man show, right. So, let's see. All right, well, I'll be in touch by way of our website, as usual. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Until I see you again, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.